everyone. Welcome to episode 29 of Thomas and the Bible, Leviticus chapters 22 through 25 of our little Bible here. I don't really have anything to say. Let's just get right into it. Oh, okay. So chapter 22, I will give you a million guesses. No, nay. 1.2 million guesses of what the first verse of this chapter is. No looking. And I bet there's no way you could tell me. There's no possible way. It's the Bible. Think of all the possible words that must be in it. Okay, I'll give you one hint. It's the first verse of a chapter. That's your hint. What's your guess? Treat everyone with, and the Lord said, treat everyone with kindness and love and, do no harm. Close. It's actually, and the Lord spake unto Moses saying, yeah, I know. That was hard. It's not like you could have guessed that from every other chapter that it's ever happened, but, oh well, no, better luck next time. Speak unto Aaron and to his sons that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord.
Whoa, really?
Say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. What man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper or hath a running issue, like he just can't stop running, like he has a running issue. He's always running. He shall not eat of the holy things until he be clean. So far, the Lord hasn't banned or condemned really terrible puns, so I'm going to continue to do them until he tells me otherwise. Because you know what? He made me that way. I am as he made me, and my puns are as bad as he made me make them. And whoso toucheth anything that is unclean by the dead, or a man whose seed goeth from him. I didn't even notice that the first time. So if you touch, God's talking here. And you always got to envision God talking for this, because like just thinking of him saying these stupid things is so funny. And whoever, Moses, now pay attention to this. If anyone touches anyone that's dead, you know, any dead body, or anyone who has semen coming out of him, how are those two things related, or how did he think of the one and the other? I don't know. Or whosoever toucheth any creeping thing whereby he may be made unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanness, whatsoever uncleanness he hath, the soul which hath touched any such shall be unclean until even, and shall not eat of holy things, unless he wash his flesh with water. But unless he does that. So I'm going to give all these commandments, but if you just sprinkle some water on it, it's fine. And, you know, all right, Bible, it's rare, but, you know, I'm gonna give you some credit. I gave you points for good hygiene before, and hey, I'll do it again. If you could only get a single moral proclamation correct, that would be slightly better than just getting the good hygiene points. But, you know, it's a start. Good hygiene leads to good morality, I'm sure. Yeah. And when the sun is down, he shall be clean, and shall afterward eat of the holy things, because it is his food. After all, that which dieth of itself, or is torn with beasts, he shall not eat to defile himself therewith. I am Steve. No, I'm the Lord. I got you. Just checking to make sure you're paying attention, Moses. Yeah, I'm the Lord. I really am. They shall therefore keep mine ordinance, lest they bear sin for it, and die therefore if they profane it. I, the Lord, oh, keeping you on your toes, I, the Lord, do sanctify them. There shall no stranger eat of the holy thing. The holy thing. A sojourner of the priest or an hired servant shall not eat of the holy thing. But if the priest buy any soul with his money, he shall eat of it. And he that is born in the house, in his house, they shall eat of it. So that's interesting. I didn't notice this before either. If you you lease a person, you know, a hired servant, say you're leasing him with a bargain purchase agreement at the end. Then they're not allowed to eat of it. But if you make a huge down payment, that is, if you buy the person all at once, if you buy his soul, as it says, then they do get to eat of it. I just wonder. It's interesting, like, you know, the Bible works like tax law. Like, there's different. You got to keep this in mind. Like, if someone's ever think like. I bet a lot of the priests back then had their tax attorneys, and this is all very funny if you're an accountant, had their tax attorneys, and were like, man, should I, all right, I'm looking for some labor. Should I lease or just buy this person's soul? I don't know. What are the difference? You guys, I need you to help me out with this. What are the, you know, give me the, do I want to take the immediate hit in my income and in my my holy bread, or do I want to spread? This isn't funny. I'm sorry. I'll stop. But if the priest buy any soul with his money, he shall. Oh, I already read that. And I put so much energy into it too. Now I've wasted all my energy. Now I'm exhausted. I can't go on now. I had just enough energy to get through this, and now I've duplicated some work. If the priest's daughter also be married unto a stranger, she may not eat of an offering of holy things. But if the priest's daughter be a widow or divorced and have no child and is returned unto her father's house, like you would return a Christmas present, as long as they have the receipt for the daughter. Hey, this daughter isn't working right. I still have the receipt here. I know it's been 10 years, but I kept it. I want either, like, you know, credit, store credit, or I guess if you have another equivalent daughter, you could give me her. You know, this is an outrage. I demand to speak to a manager. As in her youth, she shall eat of her father's meat. I'm sorry, I can't. I'm not above that. I'm not good enough of a person to be able to read. As in her youth, she shall eat of her father's meat and not laugh. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm not perfect, you know? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. But there shall no stranger eat thereof. And if a man eat of the holy thing unwittingly, and then he shall put the fifth part thereof unto it, and shall give it unto the priest with the holy thing. And they shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel, which they offer unto the Lord, or suffer them to bear the iniquity of the trespass when they eat of their their holy things. For I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And the Lord spake unto Moses still, saying, speak unto Aaron, ask him how he's doing. Let me know how his wife is. You know, maybe give him a present. And after that, and to his sons, and tell them, saying to them, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his oblation for all his vows, and for his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering, ye shall offer at your own will, ye shall offer at your own will, a male without blemish, of the beeves, B-E-E-V-E-S, I'm unfamiliar with that word, beeves, like Beavis or something, or beef, leave it to beaver, like, of the beeves, of all the beeves,
of the sheep or of the goats, but whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a free will offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind, or broken, or maimed, or having a wen, or scurvy, or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Either a bullock, or a lamb, that hath anything superfluous, like an extra limb, or lacking in his parts, like a negative limb, that mayest thou offer for a free will offering. Oh, sorry. That mayest thou offer for a free will offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Okay, so if you feel like offering just for fun, you can, but it's not going to do anything. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised, or crushed, or broken, or cut, neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land, neither from a stranger's hand. You know what you could do? Just take a club and go just bruise all of your goats or whatever. And then when the priest comes around, is like, hey, notice you haven't made an offering in a while. And then you're like, you gotta play dumb. You're like, oh, yeah, no, okay, let's go on. Come out with me. Let's go on find a goat to offer. I'm sorry, I just forgot. And then you go out there and oh, that one's bruised. Oh, there's that one's, oh no, it's got that club-shaped bruise there. I don't know what's going on, where that came from. Oh, well, I guess I can't offer any of my valuable goats. I'll just have to keep them. And I'll offer, I'll pray or something. I'm sure God will understand. Neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God of any of these. So don't steal them and then offer them. Because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them, they shall not be accepted for you. Oh no, sorry, from a stranger. I think stranger means, I thought that meant like don't steal it, but stranger means like the people who, oddly enough, now listen to this. Oddly enough, stranger means someone who, like a Canaanite who already lived in the land before you stole it, but then they're a stranger. So that's like if you went into somebody's house, just broke into a random person's house and stood in their living room, just sitting on the couch watching TV, and then they come up to you and they're like, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And you're like, "Who are these strangers asking me what I'm doing watching their TV? How dare they?" That's what that would be like. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam, and from the eighth day and thenceforth it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And whether it be a cow or ewe, ye shall not kill it and her young both in one day, because that would just be mean. Even though, I don't know why they're deciding that is all of a sudden something to consider morally. Like, they've been murdering all kinds of animals for any which reason, but finally they draw the line at killing a cow's mother and that cow in the same day. Like that's somehow, like it matters. Wait till the next day before you murder that one. It's much better. And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Damn it! paradoxical that is. Paradoxical even. So do this, but do it of your own free will. Okay, whatever you say, Lord, I'll do it. Yeah, okay, of course I'll do it of my free will if you tell me to. On the same day it shall be eaten up. Ye shall leave none of it until the morrow. I am the Lord. Therefore ye shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. I know I just said that literally the sentence before. No, that was a colon. So literally, I said that last sentence. I know I did. But I've felt it bore repeating. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord, which hallow you. Three sentences in a row. that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God, colon, I am the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. That last verse ended with a comma, so we were still on the same sentence. So that's twice in one sentence, four times in three sentences that he had to remind us he's the Lord. I get, you know, maybe people were just really stupid back then, you know? All right, on to chapter 23 here. Okay, you guys, I know you're not going to get this one. One more for $1 billion. Try to guess what the first line of this chapter is. Just try, just guess. Just throw out your first guess. You're never going to get it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, no way you knew that. No way. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Mine. My feasts. Mine. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. Awesome. Now we get to read through a calendar. This ought to be riveting. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. So the Lord's like, okay, guys, hey, if you're not doing anything, I'd like to have the Passover be on the 14th day of the first month. Is that, how does that work for everybody? Oh, no, we can't do it then. That's our bake sale. Really? Damn it. You can't reschedule that? All right, well, how about on the 14th day of the second month, we'll go ahead and do that. Well, no, really, that won't work either. What is it this time? Actually, that's, it's our bake sale again. See, we, kind of the 14th day of every month we ever, we have our little bake sale, you know, it's sort of tradition. Damn it, I really wanted to have this on the 14th day. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. And the Lord's like, hey, you know what? I've got an idea. You know what? As chairman of this board, I think we should compromise. How about, why don't you have your little bake sale on the 15th day? And you can sell unleavened bread. Since I wanted to have you guys eat unleavened bread on that day. Doesn't that, how's that? Well, Lord, I don't know how to say this. I just don't think anyone would buy it, if you know what I mean. We need to make some money on this bake sale. You know, it's a sort of do or die for us this year. Well, why don't you think anyone would buy it? Frankly, we kind of hate it. It's disgusting, really. I don't like it. What? I thought you humans loved unleavened bread. That's why I've been having you eat it all the time. Yeah, well, we're really just sick of it. It's how exciting it could unleavened bread be after the first few times. Oh, back to the Bible. Sorry, I'll read back up. I get so bored with this dumb book. I just start making things up. In the first day, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Someone at this point probably said, hey, Lord, wouldn't servile work include us listening to your stupid, annoying commandments, which are telling us not to do servile work that day, which create a little, like a circle, and my brain might explode. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give you, which I give unto you, I know it's somebody else's, but I'm giving it to you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. The priest has to wave the sheaf because oftentimes the Lord is just off, you know, he's not paying attention. He's looking at something else. So that it's sort of their system. So he's like, hey, the priest, hey, over here, Lord, we got a sheaf. See, I'm waving a sheaf. We got a sheaf here. Sheaf, Lord, sheaf. Sheaf. Yeah, come here. We're going to sacrifice an animal for you, you know. And ye shall offer that day when ye shall wave the sheaf an he lamb without blemish for of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. How did I know they were going to have to offer something? I must be God. I can see to the future. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour. Mingley's, he's like, everybody get out your recipe books here. I'm going to tell you how I want this prepared. I want it with a 2/10 deal of fine flour. Oh, yeah, fine flour. Mingled with, had that yesterday. No, mingled with oil, I think. And an offering made by fire. Put it on the fire for a good 20 minutes or until simmering. For a sweet savor. That way I can smell it, know what you're doing. And the waving part, that you're wafting it to me. That's what the waving's doing. You're wafting the smell up to my, spirit nose, wherever that is, if that indeed holds a physical place. Anyway, the drink offering, and for a drink offering, I think I'll have wine. The fourth part of an hin. Do you know what that is? Or am I dealing with an amateur here? And ye shall eat neither. I could just go on with this chapter as though he's ordering at a restaurant. And ye shall eat neither bread nor. Well, that'd be kind of rude though if that's what you did to your waiter. And I'll have all that. And ye shall eat, you waiter, ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Waiter's like, God, there better be a good tip for this. God's a bad tipper, though. Sorry to break it to you. And so they couldn't eat. They couldn't eat bread this day or this 7 days or something. So they had to be on the Atkins diet, the terrible Atkins diet. No bread, oh, man. At least they could eat all the ice cream they want. They just can't have the bread, you know, because of the carbs. Oh. And there's God reminding me that I have a stupid mic cable issue. He comes in like clockwork, that God. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Excuse me. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock. This is the longest restaurant order ever. That's probably not true. Well, at least not yet. Let's see. He could go on for years. He's got all the time in the world. And a big appetite, let me tell you. They shall be burnt offering. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings. Even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. That's me. In case you forgot. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for sacrifice of peace offerings. Waiter's writing this all down. Like, damn it, this order, I have to, this is years I'm doing this order. This is going to take forever to prepare. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord, because I just, you know, I think it's kind of nice when you wave things at me. Don't ask me why. It just makes me happy. And the two lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And he shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute for ever in all your dwellings throughout your generation. Generations. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance, of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them.
It's making me tired again.
Freaking Bible. Compelling podcast material, that. Me yawning. That's about as good as the Bible. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Is there some reason that only the children of Israel were having a memorial? Where are the adults when all the children are busy with this memorial? They're off gambling, I bet. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day of the seventh month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. Let's get closer to the mic here so you can hear my annoying voice louder. And ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that day, for it is a day of atonement. And, relax. To make an atonement for you before the Lord your God.
That's me.
For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. I don't know what that means, make your soul afflicted. What if someone must have been like, God, I don't know what that means. What do I do? Then you're just looking at everybody else that day. You're like, oh, God, what's he doing? Only he looks kind of sad. Does it mean, is he just sad, or is that what it means to afflict your soul? Do you try to get all sad? Is that, crap, I don't know what to do. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people. Not a tough sell for me. I would have been like, oh man, I want to work. God, no, can't I work that day? Yeah, that's what I'd be saying to my employer. Well, I'd love to work, but he's not going to let me. And, torn. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Yeah, see, if you just let me just read this verse for you by itself. How funny is this? Ye shall, what if this was, you just were reading this verse, with nothing else, no context. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Like, oh man, wait a minute. Maybe this religion has, maybe it has some merit after all. Finally something I can get behind. Go on. No work forever in my dwellings. Go on. Yeah. And then you read any other verse and you're like, oh, never mind. This is stupid. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, as opposed to the Sabbaths of work that I've given you before. And ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even, ye shall celebrate your Sabbath. From even to even, leaven to leaven. Do you suppose anyone could remember all this crap at all? Anyone? Do you think anyone? They didn't have a printing press back then. I wonder what they did. I'm sure they just got it all wrong. And who cares? It didn't matter. Nothing happened. Nothing bad happened. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day there shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. You gotta just get through this boring crap of him going through our agenda, our planners, filling out our planners for the rest of the year. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, and a meat offering, a sacrifice, and drink offerings, everything upon his day. Beside the Sabbath of the Lord, Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which ye shall give to the Lord, also, oh, that was the end of a sentence, so I missed the first part of it, who cares? Also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye shall have gathered, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and the willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. That sounds fun. Wave some trees around and rejoice. See, God's like, see, I'm not all bad. I'm not all commandments. Occasionally I like to let my hair down a little bit, so to speak. You know, grab some trees, shake them around, and for 7 days. People are like, God, you're making that work. I don't want to do that for 7 days, God. I don't think you understand. For being a, you know, creator of all that is all and everything, your grasp of human psychology hasn't, you know, kept up, let's say, with the latest literature. You know, Moses was saying, I'm sure. And I already read that. Thank God. That's one less verse. Fewer. How does that work? Fewer in number, less, not. I think one fewer. That's one fewer verse I thought I'd have to read. That I do have to read. Because I thought, shut up. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. Interesting. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And I would have said, of course, we could probably just remember that, don't you think? We don't actually need... Do we have to live in booths in order to remember that at some point in time someone lived in a booth? Is that... I mean... Because I think I'll remember... Look, years from now, we could do a little experiment here. You have them, you know, stay in their booth. Years from now, I'm not going to. Years from now, ask me. I guarantee you I will remember that at some point in time, whoever it was... had to live in booths. I will remember. Job done. We don't need to live in booths for 7 days. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. So the Lord said, and that about rounds out our year. So yeah, got a lot of fun stuff planned for you guys. Should be a good season, you know. I hope you all have as much fun doing all this stuff as I have making you do it. And chapter 24. On to it. Drink of water. All right, guys. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I can't wait. You know what? I can't wait until the day the Lord is speaking to anyone other than Moses. Just, it'll really throw a curveball. We'll be just astounded when he says, and the Lord spake unto Steve, saying, you know, we'll just be like, whoa, what just happened? Oh, man. Amazing. I didn't know he could even talk to anyone else. Command Mike Cable. That's him again. Reminding me who's boss. The Lord of the Mike Cable. Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil beaten for the light to cause the lamps to burn continually. What a waste of energy. Everybody out there, make sure to, you know, turn off your olive oil lamps at night. You know, it'll save the environment. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. Oh, now it's dessert. He's having dessert now. And for dessert I'll have 12 cakes. Why 12? I don't know. I have an infinite stomach, but for some reason 12 just seems to be the number. And thou shalt set them in two rows, six on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial. Are you all following this? Even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath shall he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it until they are fat in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. Oh, you know what? So I was going to say, I've missed my little note here. Watch out, because for once, this Bible is going to get a little exciting. Brace yourselves. It's going to get a little unpredictable. Unfortunately, the bad news is it's also awful and evil, but you'll see. So let me just go back into that. Lord, made by professional fire statute. So that was, you know, we were in the... And then next verse. And the son of an Israelite-ish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and the son of the Israelite-ish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And, yeah, so that was that verse. So, like, did you see that coming? Because I really didn't. I was at 1 minute, God's just rattling off about, you know, he's just some boring oil lamp crap. And then, pow, an Israelite-ish woman, woman's son, starts doing something, just walks out, and then whoever was writing the Bible was like ready for it. You know, God was just talking, and the scribe was like, yeah, and the scribe just sort of, I think he was sort of writing, not thinking about it, he sort of drifted off, and he saw this, this person was like, oh man, something interesting is happening over there. God, thank God, anything. To get out of writing down this boring shit. So, you know, that's why you have that little quick turn that, oh, and all of a sudden, the son of his, you know. Oh, just wait to see where this goes. It's great. And the Israelite-ish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord. Can you believe that? And cursed. And they brought him unto Moses. Parentheses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Debri of the tribe of Dan. Just in case you were wondering, end parentheses. And they put him in ward, that the mind of the Lord might be shewed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head to forgive him. Oh, sorry, no, I read that. Let me read that again. And let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Oh, that sounds a little more like the God we know. Some poor kid, this is a child, I don't know how old, but it's a child, it says child, says like, you know, God damn it or something, or damn, God damn it. And so what you do is you throw stones at him until he's a bloody mess and dies. How horrible is that? Is any sane person would just put this book down right now. Is there anything else in the world that's supposed to provide moral guidance where if you were, you know, reading it, watch whatever it is, reading it, and you come to, you know, make sure to gruesomely murder any child who happens to say these certain words. Wouldn't you just immediately stop listening to it? Maybe even call the police, you know? But no, apparently 80% of America and a lot of the rest of the world, when they come to this part about the child being stoned to death, they say, hold on, I think I'm going to hear this book out. I think I'm going to hear it out. I just, go on, go on. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And people are like, oh, well, wait a minute. Whoa. I thought you just said we were going to kill that. So are we killing this guy or not? Are you killing him? Because I swear, I could have sworn. Now, I don't know if that scribe is still writing all this down. I could have sworn you told us to kill him. And then you said, anybody who killeth him shall be killed. So, killeth anyone. So, like, if we killed him, I'd say pretty much everybody would die because then they have to be killed and so on and so on and so on and so on. So on. And that would, a mass extinction pretty much would happen at that point. And he that killeth a beast shall make it good. Oh, you better make this good. Beast for beast. Eye for an eye, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that killeth the beast by himself, by a beast shall himself be killed. No. He shall restore it, and he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. Wait, he shall restore it? So he has to, like, bring it back to life or something? Ye shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God. And Moses spake to the children of Israel that they should bring forth him that had cursed him out of the camp, and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. The end of that chapter. So you have it, child murder. Gruesome child murder. Good book. It's good. Good book here. I don't think, you know, there's no way any of us could be moral without this kind of stuff. No way. It's impossible. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, holy crap! Now he's speaking to him in Mount Sinai? I did not see that coming. What a plot twist. I was so used to the normal intro line that I nearly crapped myself there. He's in Mount Sinai. Did you hear, everyone? Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow the field, and 6 years thou shalt prune of thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. So I think it's good. The Bible is pretty much getting back to its usual boredom here, so I'm going to try to speed through this, but I got some jokes. We'll see. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow the field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap. Neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee. And for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy hand, in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Wow, very good, Lord God. Now can you try 8 times 8 after that? Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the jubile to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubile unto you, and ye shall return every man his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. That's nice. A jubile shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap, nor reap what you sow. That which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes of it in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the Jubile. Thou shalt be holy, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubile, ye shall return every man unto his possession. It's a nice gesture. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. Really, only once every 50 years are they not to oppress one another? This is a special commandment for this 50-year reunion where they are all nice. According to the number of years after the Jubile shalt thou buy of thy neighbor, and according to the number of years of the fruits he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not, therefore, oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land safely. And the land shall yield her fruit, and shall eat your fill, and you shall eat your fill, and dwell therein safely. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you, only if you ask it, though, like that, in that manner, in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And I'm a little impressed, I gotta say, with this bold prediction by the Bible authors who were making it up. They must have figured they'd be dead in 6 years or something, because, like, this is a pretty falsifiable, easily falsifiable theory here, prediction. Then again, when it didn't happen, the people probably just blame themselves. It's so easy. It couldn't be God's fault. What did we do wrong so that the fields didn't yield three times a year's worth of food this year? And you shall sow the eighth year and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year. Until her fruits come in, you shall eat of the old store. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, it's not yours. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if in any of his kin had come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. Excuse me. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of the Jubile. And in the Jubile it shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession. You know, it sounds like all these little rules are nice. Like, it sounds like, hey, yay, fun time, give people stuff back, all that. It sounds like God's being really cool. Until you realize that the land he's talking about, he actually stole from the Canaanites to give to these people. So it ends up being a little rude, after all. Where was I here? And if a man sell a dwelling house in a walled city, then he may redeem it within a whole year after it is sold. Within a full year he may redeem it. And if he be not redeemed within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the walled city shall be established forever to him that is bought it throughout his generations. It shall not go out in the Jubilee. Jubile, I guess. I don't know. Who knows? Probably the same word. J-U-B-I-L-E, Jubile to me. But the houses of the village, which have no wall around them, shall be counted as the fields of the country. They may be redeemed, and they shall go out in the Jubile. Notwithstanding the cities of the Levites, and the houses of the cities of their possession, may the Levites redeem at any time. And if a man purchase of the Levites, then the house that was sold and the city of his possession shall go out in the year of the Jubile, for the houses of the cities of the Levites are their possession among the children of Israel. But the field of the suburbs of their cities may not be sold, for it is their perpetual possession. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger, or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him, or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan. Look, I give you this land that's somebody else's, and to be your God. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant. But as an hired servant and as a sojourner he shall be with thee, and shall serve thee unto the year of the Jubile. Oh, man, I have to pay a servant? Oh, come on, God, that's outrageous. You kidding me? I shouldn't have to pay somebody who does anything I ask them to do. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and he shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his fathers he shall return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondsmen or bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but fear thy God. Both thy bondmen and thy bondsmaids, which thou shalt have, and thy bonds doggies, and thy bonds cats, and thy bond anything bondsies bond, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondsmaids. How good could this God really be? Here, I'll be really nice to this one group of humans, but I'll be a total dick to everyone else. Why? Because I chose them. That's why. For no real reason. It's just how it works. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them ye shall ye buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your land, and they shall be your possession. Oh, and you can buy their children. That's how nice. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit for... Oh, I see. So, you buy their children to be your children's slaves. You know, a little matchmaking there, a little arranged slave-master relationships going on. What if, like, arranged marriage, what if there's, like, a story of a rebel, you know, of two people, a servant and a slave, but they're from different families, like, they weren't arranged by the parents, or, like, I don't care what they say, I'm gonna be your slave, not the person that they bought me for. No, that wouldn't work out? No, okay. And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, or wax poetic, and thy brother that dwelteth by him wax poor, or wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family. After that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him, his family may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself, you know. Don't rule that out. And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him unto the year of Jubilee. And that and the price of his sale shall be according unto the number of years, according to the time of an hired servant shall it be with him. Jeez, God's really getting to some math here. He's like busting out some algebra. Now, if you buy him after the Jubilee, but before the full moon, then the amount you shall pay him shall be expressed by the polynomial x squared plus 2x plus 1. Now you're definitely going to want to factor that bad boy. If there be yet many years behind, according unto them he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. And if there remain but few years under the year of the Jubilee, then he shall count with him, and according unto his years he shall give him again the price of his redemption. And as a yearly hired servant shall he be with him, and the other shall not rule with vigor over him in thy sight. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of the Jubilee, both he and his children with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants, they are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. End of that. That was a long episode, wasn't it? of just solid reading. That last chapter was 55 friggin' verses. Whew. I want to say, so that's the end of the podcast. So thanks a lot. Someone left me another review on iTunes. I really appreciate it. I strongly encourage you to do the same. You know, it's a nice gesture. If you're enjoying the podcast, and, you know, why not just return the favor? You scratch my back, I'll rate your podcast. No, I scratch your back, you review my podcast, as the saying goes. You know, that's nice. And then also, if you ever want to leave a comment on the site, go ahead and get on to www.thomasinthebible.com or email me at comments@thomasinthebible.com or do whatever, you know, give me a call at comments@thomasinthebible.com, you know, whatever. And that's about it. Thanks a lot, guys, and see you next time.